Welcome to the Faith Bridge Men's Podcast. This teaching was recorded live on February 11th, 2025, during the second week of the series, My Brother's Keeper, a study in 1st and 2nd Timothy, taught by Bible teacher Ian Hunter. Ian takes us through Timothy chapter 3 and unpacks the qualifications of leadership.
Man, it is so good to see so many guys on a Tuesday night carving out time to come here. Give me one second while I set this up. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but this does not happen in very many churches in this area. And I'm taken away every time I come to Faith Bridge to see there's four things that I constantly think about that keep me on the straight and narrow path. One, being in the Word. Two, being in prayer. Three, being in community. Four, being accountable. You guys do it every single Tuesday night. You know that's not common, right? Even in Texas, that's not common. Do not let Satan rob that and have a heart of ungratitude for what you guys got here. Keep feeding it. It's amazing. I just thought I'd share that because I've come from Woods Edge, and we have great worship, great Bible teacher. We don't have men getting together like this, so it warms my heart to be in here. I want to start with a story before I get into 1 Timothy 3. Some of you may know I was in the military for a while. I did 21 years. And I had, much like all of you, I've had some great experience from some really great leaders and other ones that are not so great. But luckily, we learn from both sides. So as we think about an overseer and what are those qualifications, in Timothy, Paul is talking specifically about in the faith, in the church. Now, some of those are obviously can bleed into work and in home and in general leadership, but let's not forget that he's talking specifically about leadership inside God's home. When I first joined in the military, I signed up and went to 3rd Ranger Battalion. There was a process called Ranger Indoctrination Program. They changed the word to make it a little bit more professional and call it RASP, which is Ranger Assessment Selection Program. And after making it through that, I went through basic, airborne, infantry, went through the RASP process and finally made it. I went into a company down in 375, which is in Georgia, right, Columbus, Georgia. And the way an infantry company in Ranger Battalion is organized, you have a company is made up of platoons, and platoons are made up of squads. And so you have three infantry or rifle squads, and then you have one weapon squad, which is like the 240 machine gun, the Rambo belt-fed, machine gun. So as a new Ranger, you don't get to really pick where you go. You go wherever the gap is. I had the joy of getting put onto a weapons squad. Well, in that weapons squad, I was just the ammo bearer. It's exactly what you think. Literally just strong Ranger. I just carried things. And so I had a gunner who was a guy just ahead of me, and then I had a team leader for our gun team. And he was the leader of the gun team, right? Pretty quick after getting a Ranger Battalion, we were going to go jump into northern Iraq to go seize some northern territory of Iraq. To posture, we went into Saudi Arabia and stayed there for quite a few months waiting for the intelligence to come in to make the right decision on when to go. We lived in a thing called a tent city in the middle of the desert in Saudi Arabia, and if you're picturing that, that's exactly what it was. It was a bunch of tents, and the chow hall was nowhere near there. You either had to walk like forever, or you had to get in a bus. Well, my really close friend who was the gunner, his name was Kyle, phenomenal athlete, myself, the ammo bearer, and our sergeant, his name was Sergeant Worth. We found out that Sergeant Worth didn't like to go to the chow hall because it was a long walk. And so he'd always put requests in to Kyle and I to go get him food. And so every time we went, he would tell us, hey, I want, he was very, those type of people where you're like, hey, I'll get you lunch. I'll fly if you buy, right? And I'll go get lunch. And then they become very prescriptive. I want like just a half a cup of rice. I want two pieces of chicken, all that kind of stuff. So imagine multiple meals going and getting them for Sergeant Worth. And he was very prescriptive. He would want two pieces of chicken, just a little bit of rice. We kind of got tired of doing this for him. So we would give him two cups of rice and half a piece of chicken and act like we didn't know he was talking about. And he would say, hey, I don't want any salt. Don't put any salt. I really don't like pepper. Don't put any on there. You get a whole lot of salt, and we hide some pepper in there. This went on for a very long time. And so towards the end of our time in Tent City, as we're preparing to, the intelligence came in that we could move in to go do a combat jump, night jump into Iraq. And I was, like everybody else, was packing my rucksack. And I was putting things in there. You had to have, at the time, just some extra socks. We were preparing for a month. We didn't know we were going to get anything resupply, so we had a couple of socks. We had to jump with our NBC gear on, which is your nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare suit, and one MRE, and then all the stuff you needed for your combat mission. And so as an AB, that combat mission consisted of a bunch of ammo. And so I started with 500 rounds. You can look it up in the manual, but every 100 rounds is roughly about 7 pounds, so 7 times 5, 35, just in ammo. And every time I was packing my ruck to make sure it was right, because I'm going to have to jump this thing, I look over and there's another 100-round belt that would show up on my cot. I'm like, okay, and I see it. You know, I'm a new guy, like really young. I mean, really young. I look and I'm like, okay, Sergeant Worth wants me to put another 100 rounds. So I put another 100 rounds. Before I know it, I have like 900 rounds in my bag. So do the math, 9 times 7, we're at like 63 pounds just in ammo. That's not including my own gun, that's not including my own ammo, that's not including my night vision, that's not including my clothes. I was well over 100 pounds, right? And I'm kind of confused, like this, there's no way this is good for me, or safe. And so I walk over to my buddy Kyle, I'm like, man, help me, you're like my mentor here, like, what? How much do you have? And he looks over at me, like, you could see it in his face of just pure anger. He has the spare barrel, he has the tripod, the T&E, all this stuff is all heavy metal stuff to shoot the gun from. And I look over at Sergeant Worth, and he has just his gun. He has been pawning off everything to his two soldiers. And so at that time, he went from Sergeant Worth to Sergeant Worthless. We have all seen poor leadership in our life. And I don't think it's any different when we talk about, one, if we have somebody that's leading us closely in scripture, walking us at the table, or somebody that's been a mentor, or maybe you were hurt by a church before. What I did with 1 Timothy 3 is I dissected a lot of it and started thinking about what are the pillars that we can find inside 1 Timothy 3 that are really the pillars of what Paul's talking about to be an overseer. And it's not, he is focused on the church and he is focused on being a deacon, but this is very true for leading in our home and leading in these small groups. And often it's easy to point out bad leadership. It's really hard to see it in ourselves. So we're just gonna do a quick exercise here on the whiteboard. Now, I'm gonna need your help. So if I ask for help, please participate because we know the time's short. But you guys are smart. And if you can't read it, it says character, family leader, relationship, and it says competent and mature, not manure. It says mature. In red, I'm going to write down some bad leadership qualities. All right, just think one word for me in each of these pillars. So let's start with character. Can somebody just give me a good, what's a good, when I say bad quality of character leader, what is something that comes to mind? All right. Can I get one more? Cruel. Great. Now, in family is used in context in this portion to see a family in a church, but we can also say reps as a leader, right? We could also say, have we seen this person lead in other ways, right? And what is the fruit that's been given in that? Now, there's things that we can see as well that says these reps haven't been so good, right? What are some of those bad family leader qualities that we may see in someone? Come on.
Disconnected.
Disconnected. That's a good one. Inconsistent. Absent. That's a good one too. You guys are crushing it. Danny said you wouldn't say anything.
Wow.
He didn't say that. He didn't say that at all. Can I add neglect on here? All right. Now, indecisive. That's a good one too. Well, I'm going to think about that. I'm going to keep that. I'm going to put it in the parking lot over here and figure out where I'm going to put it. If I scribble really fast, you guys can't tell if I spelled it wrong. Okay, we're in relationship. Now, in this context, how is this person in context of other people? Not necessarily in their leadership position, where they know they're being watched, but in general, relationship with other people. How do they treat the HEB bagger? How do they treat the gas attendant? How do they treat, you get my point. So can we give me some, remember we're still in red here, some bad, if we were to say, hey man, oof, that's a bad relationship leader there. That guy does not know how to maintain relationships. Man, crushing it. Wow, that was a lot. Selfish hits all of them. Okay, we're going to move into competent. Now, there's a difference between being confident and competent. I can sit up here and be confident all day long and not speak any truth. I mean, most of your social media folks do that, right? They're very confident, but reality is they're not competent. They don't really know what they're doing. They haven't been doing it for long. And then the other part, it says competent slash mature or maturity. Maturity isn't, we're not talking about age here. We're talking about just mature. And so in this bin here for me, give me some words that would be the opposite or a negative of being competent or mature. Okay. Can I just to make it easy? Can I put young? Young or new or like novice, inexperienced. Did anybody want to make sure I add one more on here for any of these that you feel like has to be on here? Awesome. Let's open up the Word. What we're going to jump to is 1 Timothy 3, the first verse, and we're going to be quick. You guys already see where I'm going. Let me close the deal here. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach. Now, if you're confused, I'm reading from NIV. This is ESV. I'm just reading from my Bible. I'm from Alabama. I have to stick to the same language. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner that is worthy of full respect, not an authoritarian. Is setting boundaries legalism? Or is setting boundaries authoritarian? That's a slippery slope, right? We need boundaries. It's woven throughout Scripture all the time. But we got to be careful. We don't want to be so forceful to where we leave no room for somebody to make their own decisions. Okay. I read a bunch there. Can somebody look through those scriptures that I just read, verses 1 through 7, and see if you can find any that may fit inside character for me? Can you go to the list with a bunch of words on it? This will help you guys out. There we go. Respectable. Yep. What about above reproach? Would you guys put that in character? Self-control, that's a great one. You're right. Where would you put gentle? Family and relationship, but I sit in either one of them. Let's stick with family. What about not given to drunkenness? Probably character. I mean, I've heard a guy say, hey, I only drink on days that end with Y. Or I don't drink, I only drink if I'm alone or with other people. Not violent, which is really hard. What's the difference between being violent and defending? That's right. We should guard and protect, but we shouldn't go out seeking anger and being angry at people. What about not a lover of money?
Self-control.
I'm going to put character in there as well. All right, family. Faithful to his wife. Is this one going here? Probably, right? I mean, that really bleeds into the character of being loyal. Yep, we can put gentle in here as well. All right, we're going to keep going. Relationships. What about all the folks that volunteer here that are kind and they have great hospitality? Right? That's a leadership quality that he talks about in here. Was Sergeant Worthless hospitable? I hope his cousin's like not in this audience right now. Noble desire. What about I've loved this. What if I only love the people that love me back? Is that really love? What about in relationships? What if I'm only nice to fellow Christians? What if I only came in here and talked to Danny and Sean, but didn't recognize anybody else in here? Is that a character trait? Is that a great character trait of relationship to be avoidant of non-believers or avoidant of people that aren't inside the clique? So good reputation to outsiders is how it's worded in Scripture. So if somebody was to ask or hear your name outside this church, would they say you're a good person or not? All right, competent. I'm going to put noble desire in here as well. That's right, teachable. Teachable is a great one. And teachable is regardless of age. I know the whole comment, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Sometimes I feel like an old dog, and I'm not. But I sometimes lose the fact that I'm not being teachable. What about this one? Not a recent convert. Does that mean that like you can't volunteer because you're a recent convert? Like you just started finding who Jesus was in your heart? Does that mean you just can't do anything for the church? Remember, we're talking about overseer of other souls. Now, these are drawn up here intentionally into this, because then I'm going to get into the last couple of verses. I'm going to read verse 8. It says, in the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of faith. Now, I haven't gotten deep truths of faith on here because I really truly believe that all this stuff on the board right here doesn't matter if you're not holding every word in here to be true. Deep truths of faith. And it's not, there's a lot of these I can fake the funk if I just kind of weasel my way into different places. I mean, that's the salesman in some instances, right? They're really kind to you when you walk up. There's so many ways that I could use all these different bins and hide the reality of who I am. But when it comes down to it, am I living and do I believe in the deep truths of faith? Now, the first one and the greatest one of all those deep truths of faith that Paul is specifically talking about is he's talking about this mysterious new thing called Jesus. And so on the bottom down here, all these pillars, that we've been working on together are essentially what he's talking about when we talk about, you know, the standing up of the church and being able to have a church that is strong and stands on these pillars. But I'll tell you, none of these are worth anything unless they're on a foundation of the deep truths of faith. When things aren't going very well, and you're just started getting into the faith. So I had a chance. I feel like I should share this story really quick. When I was in North Carolina before we moved here, I had an opportunity. I mean, I still can't understand how it happened, because it had to be the Lord's hand. It was a church of nothing but retirees that my family and I were going to, like older community. And they asked me to become an elder in that church. Like, I was like enough. I was old enough to be their great grandkid, and I was an elder in the church. But it was an amazing experience to be underneath the covering and teaching of these wise men. But I watched as the church realized it was getting older, that they were hungry for younger leaders to be stepping up, and now I was one of the first ones to do that. My wife and I also really love giving into things like Re-Engage, marriage ministry, and things like that. We were teaching and in a Re-Engage, and we had this young guy who was great, young family. He had a wife, but he had just really come to faith not too long ago. And him and his wife were really struggling with a lot of different things. They met in a rehab facility. Beautiful testimony, but they met in a rehab facility. They are still fighting for independence or you know, break the dependence of alcohol in their life. They are arguing. Sometimes they wouldn't stay in the same house. Sometimes one wouldn't show up to the thing. And at the same moment, I'm watching the pastor move him into a speaking and leading role for the church. We are only going to paralyze our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ if we are putting them too soon to lead. There's nothing wrong with being a follower. If the last thing I checked, Jesus was a follower his whole and represented being a follower and a servant. I felt like I needed to tell that story. Just pay attention to when you have a chance to, yes, the hunger and the passion is great, but let's put that underneath the teaching of a wise, mature, competent teacher in the Word. And so I just lost my thought after I shared that with you guys. The point of all this is we all can find it really easy to find bad leadership qualities. That was pretty quick to stick those out there. But sometimes we need to hear people around us tell us our good leadership qualities, but we also need somebody to tell us maybe areas that we need to grow in. And I think this is a great opportunity for you guys to do that tonight and share some leadership, you know, bad things that you have seen in your walk, but also some areas that you know maybe you need to grow in. And so I think we have some list of questions that will pop up here for you guys to discuss around the table. But before that, I just want to pray you guys out into table time. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this beautiful gift of coming into your house and sharing some words that come right off the pages into my heart and stamp a seal on my heart about leadership, Lord. You are a Lord that cares about us so much that you know that we need to care for one another and look up to one another and bring each other just closer to you. Lord, we know that we cannot do any of this if it's not seated and absolutely stuck in your word being the whole truth and living through it. The one and most important part of that deep truth is knowing that your son, you gave him here to live a sinless life, to die on the cross for my sins, and to rise again just to be an advocate for me, to be at the throne. Lord, I love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.